is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 446, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and keeps the podcast going every week. With me, of course, is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Just another week in tech, right?
Well, you know, it is Amazon Gaming Week, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you are looking,
been on Amazon enough, I guess.
Yeah, if you are looking to buy or upgrade or buy any piece of sort of gaming related gear, whether it be actual PC hardware or if you have like you know, looking at a mouse, keyboard, there is a lot of stuff on sale this week. I actually just bought another processor today because I saw it was on sale. I bought another 9600 X. For a new system build that I'm doing. So that was like pretty well discounted. There are some really awesome laptop deals. Gigabyte shared with us some of their deals. They have like $400 or $500 off gaming laptops currently. Just a lot of stuff going on. So like I said, if you're either looking to do a build or you're looking to maybe upgrade something or just like buy anything gaming related, it is Amazon Gaming Week. So like I said, there are like some deals because I bought a 9600X last month and I'm paying like $40 less. So definitely see if there's some deals if you're looking to pick something up. So I don't know if you were looking at picking up anything, Ryan, or you need any.
Honestly, I've been looking for some more storage, some more NVMe storage. So I'm going to have to take a look.
Yeah, I didn't look at storage. I did, like I said, I did see that CPUs were on sale because I needed to get a new CPU for our case builds because we have some case reviews coming up and we're redoing that system. So I was like, oh, and then a couple brands reached out and told us about some of the deals that they had going on. So yeah, definitely some good deals going on. And again, this is like possible pre-tariff prices, so you might want to jump on it. It's already discounted more than what it normally would be, but again, nobody knows what's going on with tariffs, but this is like this could be pre-tariff pricing plus a deal, so get on it if you can. And like I said, if you guys could use our link, which again is thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, just helps out and everything like that. But beyond that, busy week. There's so much going on. I'm working on like six different videos.
You got a lot coming up, yeah.
Lot coming up, which we'll talk about as well. But yeah, just a ton of stuff. But you got the chance to take a look at a AIO from a new brand, a brand that we've seen and we have talked about, but sure, we've never had the chance to actually take a look at their products. Right. So we'll start with that. So you took a look at the Trix, which is TRYX, not TRIX, Trix Panorama SE ARGB 360mm liquid CPU cooler.
Yep. I've got it shared. You pop it up there.
Why are they? It's showing me that both are shared, which is weird. That was so weird. But it's up there now. But yeah.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, so I took a look at the Panorama SE ARGB 360 AIO, and like just this shot here, the featured image just kind of shows you exactly how unique this is. So we looked at this a while back, like you mentioned, just saw it in the news, and finally got our hands on this. And its main feature, you know, as far as aesthetics go, is it has a 6.5 inch AMOLED LCD display that wraps around two sides of the pump housing, or the in the pump housing area, because it actually sticks off quite a bit from a normal like water block in an AIO, which we'll see here in a couple minutes here in some of the photos. But yeah, it's a 360mm AIO, fits all your standard AMD and Intel systems. Comes in a really nice box as well. Like, you know, we've seen some nice unboxing from other companies. But just like opening it up and there's some panels in there that just open nicer than just like sliding a carton out or something, right? It's not like super high end, but it's neat. But everything's got its place, well protected, which is always nice. And comes with, of course, all the accessories, like I said, to mount up to any current current gen Intel or AMD system. So just taking a quick look at the system here. If you look at it like and don't pay any attention, you're like, okay, yeah, it's a regular AIO, right? It's got a couple fans, it's got some tubing and some cables. And that is true for the most part until you look closer at the pump housing and screen on it, which we'll get to in a second. But the radiator is pretty typical, 27 millimeter thick radiator. It's aluminum, right? That's pretty much standard with an Asetek style all-in-one cooler, which is who their OEM is for this cooler in particular. And they come with, that radiator comes with three fans already mounted, right? And
I love that. I just did an install with fans that weren't mounted, and it's just like...
Yeah, as long as they've got them mounted in the right direction, right? There's some that will mount them to be like in a pull configuration because they want you to use it in their case, right? Or they assume you're going to use it in their case. But we do our testing in a push configuration. So these were already mounted in the correct orientation, and they are... fans that daisy chain. I'll get to that here in a minute, but that's all also another really nice feature about this. It's got your standard crimped on hoses at the end of the radiator. Nothing special there. And this is where we get to that screen, right? And as you can see here from the side, we just have this really nice LCD screen that just wraps around the side and top of the cooler here. And as we go around, you can kind of see here that it does stick up quite a bit. I mean, this thing's as tall as, like, I don't want to say it's as tall as your standard 120 millimeter tower cooler, but it's pretty close. So just keep that in mind if you're wanting to put this into a smaller case. Make sure you got enough clearance there, because really, in most AIO reviews, this is the size of the pump housing, and that's about as high as it gets, right? This is inches taller than... your standard AIO, which you can see here again in this image, how much it sticks up past a traditional AIO pump housing. So got a couple cables that come out the side. The pump inside is powered by a 4-pin PWM cable. And then there is a USB 2.0 cable attached to the screen module for controlling the imagery and everything that goes on with that screen. That screen can come off, though, and rotate into four directions. So on top of the pump housing, you've got these four little peg holes, and those line up with a couple of pegs that are on the LCD screen section. So you can rotate it in 90-degree increments, and it's held on with magnets. So it's real nice and easy to like pull out, orient how you want it, and push back on, and it sticks. I really like that. Some we've seen in the past are a little like, I don't know, hard to work with sometimes when you're doing that.
Especially if you like need to remove the block, it's like you have to kind of work around it or
this is really nice and easy. Like I mentioned, it is an Asetek designed cooler here, so we've got a pretty standard layout for their coolers that we've seen on a lot of other similar AIOs in the past. Here's a
pre-applied thermal paste that I see there.
Yes, so it does come with pre-applied thermal paste. They do include some thermal paste as well, which I like. So you can use that in future builds if you need to, or you know, you take this thing off and put it back on, need to reapply. So yes, that is always nice as well. Speeds up installation times, right? It's just one less thing you got to do. You don't have to put those fans on. You don't have to put the thermal paste on. It's just good to go. They do include, like I said, those 320 millimeter fans. Now, I was a little worried looking at the specifications for these fans because they don't have quite as much static pressure as some fans from some better performing or what I thought were going to be better performing kits that we've looked at in the past. Typically, when we have a higher static pressure fan, they perform better than a fan that doesn't have the power to push air through the radiator fins, right? And this has a standard 20 fin per inch density. Again, going back to that Asetek design, probably using a very similar radiator fin setup across multiple. So I was a little worried. I was like, I don't know how this thing's going to perform. And its full speed is only 1850 RPM, whereas like the Be Quiet that we just looked at is like 2500 RPM, I think, right around that. So I was a little cautious going into this thinking, oh man, you know, they've gone for just looks as opposed to performance. But as we go along, we'll see that wasn't the case at all. Rubber feet at each corner on the fans. Here's just a kind of a closer look at the daisy chaining. It is kind of a proprietary cable that ties in your four pin PWM and ARGB lighting. These are ARGB lit fans, so you can hook them up to your controller of choice and get the colors that you want for your build. Again, there they are, daisy chained together. And then you have just like a breakout cable that connects the fan chains to the rest of your system, and get you all connected. Really simple and easy installation. You just pull off the standard AMD brackets and you mount on some custom brackets here. And again, we saw this with the Be Quiet cooler just last week or 2 weeks ago. That hardware that is already on the pump housing matches up with this AMD hardware, so nothing you have to swap out on there as well. Again, just one of those steps that's not necessarily hard, doesn't take a lot of time, but it still is just a convenience piece there that you don't have to worry about. So once you have that mounted on there, we can then mount the pump. And I actually like that you can take that screen off so easily and add it back on because it's not in the way. You're not worried about like scratching
that's
screwdriver.
That's the biggest thing that I see.
Getting these the springs and the threaded screws like lined up with everything. It's not in the way. You mount this on and then you put that screen on, which is really nice. So there's a quick shot of it all installed before we boot up. And it takes up quite a bit of space. You know, it's a 6.5-inch LCD, which is, you know, think about your cell phone and the size of screen there, right?
It is a AMOLED.
Yes, AMOLED, yeah. Very high pixel density on the screen as well.
Yeah.
1920 by 1080 resolution.
And it's curved. It's not two screens. It's curved.
It is curved. Correct. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. So it actually performed really well. Like, you know, I mentioned previously, we have just built a new AIO cooling setup. So we've only got a couple coolers in there now, but we're adding to this constantly. I've got three more AIOs in the pipe that will be added very soon here to our graphs. And so we right now test across multiple RPMs and check temperatures at each one of those in idle and load situations. And then we do a noise test as well. So it actually performed a little bit or right around the same temperature in idle as the Be Quiet, but then it actually performed a little better than the Be Quiet under load, which I, again, was surprised by because I expected not as good a performance, you know, moving air through that radiator, but turned out great. And you'll see that we have a bar missing here on the yellow for 2000 RPM. Since that fan doesn't spin above 1850, there's no graph for it, right? So that max is going to be the 1850 speed there. So, and then we're probably going to still make some tweaks to these graphs. I don't know if Bob's really happy with them. So we'll figure out something.
They're very busy.
There's a lot to graph, you know, so we're either going to have more graphs or we'll figure something out. Yeah. And it was pretty quiet cooler as well, which I always appreciate. And I go back to that mentality of finding that sweet spot between performance and noise, especially if you're someone that doesn't wear headphones all the time.
Yeah.
The difference in temperatures that you get at that highest fan speed versus a mid-range fan speed, like there's not enough difference to really justify that high fan speed. So just something to keep in mind there. It does come with their Canali software so that you can adjust the screen. And it's really simple and easy to use. I really like the layout of it. You know, it's just got like a dashboard homepage, like most softwares, right? You can select your unit that you have that's compatible here and shows you what you can do with it. And they have 15 preset animation videos that come on.
How big's the software as far as like how big's the download?
It wasn't very big. Actually, you know,
we were talking in our in our Discord. If you guys haven't joined our Discord, join our Discord. But some people are talking on Discord about like how big software has got now, where it's like it's a gig or a gig and a half just for monitoring software and stuff like that. You don't have to check, but I mean, like I said, that's something that I think a lot of people kind of worry about these days because these software. This is probably, you know, not like it's not we've seen this in the past where it's like Corsair, like their software gets just gets bloated over time. We see it with Asus as well. It just gets bloated over time and becomes so big. So that's just kind of why I'm asking. So I'm just like, you know, this is a newer company.
You know, it wasn't very big. I thought I had put it on my server with all my application downloads, and I didn't.
So that's all right. It's not a big deal. It's pretty like the software is pretty snappy overall.
Yeah, it's quick. Like you can preview the videos. Like you click through this gallery of them, and you click it or like hover over it, and it shows the animation there like right away. Another nice thing about this is that screen and everything there's a CPU, like a 4-core CPU. It's got internal, you know, compute and so storage. It's not using system resources, right?
Yeah. So if you throw a video on there, the CPU that's actually on the cooler itself is running that. So it's not taking system resources, because we posted the video on, I don't know if it was Instagram or TikTok, and somebody was like, I wonder how much resources running the video takes.
Yep. Pretty much nothing. And then you can cycle through there, all sorts of cool, you know, animations, and then you can add your own, which I'll talk about here in a second. But you can also add some system information on top of the video playing. So if you want to show like your CPU temperature all the time, or your GPU temp, or time and memory, all those items, you can select up to 3 items down below and get those showing on the screen there. And then, like I said, you can upload your own files and you can show it like in full screen, and you can even have like a carousel of videos playing that it rotates through, and you can split that screen to show 2 different pieces of content as well.
I like that.
Right. So if you don't want the same thing on across both of them, you can kind of split it up. It's, you know, really kind of cool use of that curved screen there. And then, yeah, here's just a couple shots. I liked this one. It's like this rundown car in this room with like plants and stuff growing on it. And there's little lightning bugs flying around that flicker, and the light that's shining down on the car flickers. And the image is like super clear. Like,
yeah, I think we've gone to the moment.
It's 60 hertz. Yeah.
Yeah. We've gone to the point where these displays too are quite good as far as resolution. So it's not like a 480p display. No, we saw those on so many AIOs, and it's a 60 hertz display too. So everything's going to be really great. You're going to have great pixel density. And when I've seen some other brands that have these, it looks so good.
Yeah. Like this thing was floating around and all these little hairs on it were like moving, and it just looks, it's nice and bright. It's got a, I think, 1,000,000 to 1 contrast ratio. So your brights are bright, your darks are dark. Just, it looks awesome. Very fluid. Looks really nice there in your system. Let's see here. So it is a little pricey. It's $280, right? For this, you know, but you think about, you're getting a 6.5-inch screen that's not, like you mentioned, like some 480 display or some really small screen.
It has its own CPU in there.
Exactly. So you're not affecting system performance. You're getting the, you know, pre-mounted fans. So really, like, I gave it a 9 out of 10. And again, these may adjust depending as we get more coolers in and performance comes into play across a wider range. But this thing's great. You know, pre-wired fans, nice display. My cons, you know, was just that it's expensive. $279 is on the top end, you know, or towards the top of 360 AIOs. But again, you got to keep in mind you're getting that huge screen on here and some really high quality pre-built animations. So. Nice. And good performance. So.
Yeah. Sometimes you see stuff like this, or you see certain brands come out and it's very flashy. It's very different and unique, but then you're like, well, the performance is kind of horrible, so wouldn't use it. We've seen that. So it's good to see that, one, this looks awesome, and two, is that it backs it up with the performance as well, because it doesn't matter how cool something looks in your system. You load up a game and everything's overheating or thermal throttling, like, you don't want to have to deal with that. So good to see. That's awesome. So definitely check out that review if you are interested. I took a look at another, I guess you wouldn't call it a mechanical keyboard because it's a magnetic switch, but a rapid trigger Hall Effect keyboard. And this one is from Melgeek. And this is sort of an update to their Mate 68 Pro, which I took a look at last year. It is essentially the same keyboard, but with some updates. So the Mate 68 Pro, this is the Ultra, but the Pro was the same thing, a magnetic switch, Hall Effect keyboard. So you could do rapid trigger, you could do dynamic keystroke, you could do snap tap, you could do all of that stuff. 68 key, very small and compact. And what they've done with the Ultra is, one, they updated the chassis. So I have it here. It's heavy because the chassis itself is all aluminum. So it's entire aluminum, whereas on the Pro, it was an aluminum top plate. And then you had sort of like a plastic, now not a cheap plastic, but it was still a plastic chassis. So that is one of the updates. The second update, which is one that was much needed, was on the Pro, you had ABS keycaps. Now we have double shot PBT keycaps, which again are great. And then we get three new colorways. So the colorway that I got, which looks absolutely just, they just killed it. This is actually called their light colorway, which it's, you look at the keyboard, it's very dark. It's
pretty dark, yeah.
It's because the light is what you're, or it's the silver, you know, because you're getting the silver on the actual chassis itself, but the keycaps are going to be all black. And then you have, the legends are a neon yellow with the neon throughout the rest. You know, you have accent on the escape key and accent on the enter key. But beyond that, it is essentially the same keyboard. So it's very snappy. If you're not familiar with magnetic switch keyboards or Hall Effect keyboards, a magnetic switch means that each section of the keyboard where there's a switch, there's a magnet in there, and it knows how far down you're actually pressing the key. And the reason that that's important is that you have the ability to set the actuation point. And what the actuation point is how far down you press a key that it's actually registered. So on a mechanical switch, you have to press it down till that switch engages. And different switches have different actuation points. With this, you can set your own actuation point, and you can set it for each key. So if you want like one key to be faster, so you get that, which is just awesome. And really allows you to customize this keyboard. Previously with mechanical, you like, okay, I want these switches. These are my fast switches. This is, you know, so that's how you would do before. Now you don't have to worry about that. You just set it in the software. You do your own thing. But on top of that, you can do something like dynamic keystroke, which means that you can set multiple actions for how far down you press the key. So if I press it down a little bit, it does one action. If I press it down, you know, a little bit more, it does another action. If I release the key, it can do another action as well. So you could really customize this if you really want to get into it, which is just awesome. And then you have the controversial snap tap, which basically means that if you're on a normal keyboard, normal mechanical switch keyboard, if you're strafing in a game, you're hitting A and D at the same time. If you hit them at the same time, you won't register. You'll stop, like your character stops because the keyboard doesn't know what to do because you're pressing two keys at the same time, essentially, because you stop. But what SnapTap allows you to do is that as soon as you press one of them, or it knows which one was pressed first, and it prioritizes the next one, so you can actually strafe. Like you could strafe so quickly.
Real quick, yeah.
Now there are this has been outlawed in games, in certain games, especially in competitive play. But it is available on this keyboard if you want to use it, which is pretty cool. And of course, you have rapid trigger and all of that as well. Rapid trigger essentially means that on a normal mechanical keyboard, when you press a key down, you have to wait till it comes up and the switch resets for you to press it again. If you don't wait for it to reset, if you press down again, that press will not register. With rapid trigger, as soon as you let go, you can press down again. Again, this comes in handy. You're moving fast. This is really great for fast-paced games. I think that's where you're really going to take advantage of these things. And like I said, I really enjoyed the Mate 68 Pro. The Ultra is just essentially a better version, a little bit more comfortable because you have the PBT keycaps. And again, you get the anodized aluminum body, which makes this very heavy, makes it really good. And the biggest thing is that there is no pinging. That's the thing I always worry about when you get an all aluminum build when it comes to a keyboard, but you don't get that at all. So like I said, it has a good sound. I have a sound test in there. And again, the colorway, it really, really works well. And one thing that's cool about this keyboard too is that, let's go to the end here, is that the top edge has sort of like an acrylic piece. Like if I'll show you guys here, but there is this acrylic piece at the top, and I don't have the keyboard plugged in, but when you plug it in, it essentially lights up with just like a single light, cool. Which you can't change the color or anything, but it just illuminates. So if you do have this sitting on your desk, it like I said, look at it. I mean, it looks pretty cool overall. Their software works quite well as well. And you can use the software online. So you can just go to the, I tried this. So you just go to their website and it will detect your device in the browser. And then you can make the changes in the browser. So really easy to go ahead and like remap all your keys. Of course, you can remap all of your keys here. And then you can do, again, setting things up like the macros. You can do, this is your dynamic keystroke. So again, you can set an action for each time, you know, up to four times. Yeah, so you can do that. They have SnapTap built in now. It was like a custom, when I originally reviewed the Pro, in the software it was set as a custom sort of thing. Now you can kind of set it yourself, really easy to do, so they've done that. So everything works incredibly well. There is some RGB backlighting, you per key RGB backlighting, but you really can't see it because the keycaps are, the legends aren't see-through, and of course they're black, so I really wouldn't say it's anything. And again, here's where you can go ahead and actually set your actuation point. You can set your dead zone on this each individual switch as well. So like I said, really cool that you can do all of this. And again, this basically just gives you the most customization you can get currently. At least I don't know of any other tech that's more, that you can go in more detail than this, but overall it just allows you to completely customize this to your liking. You can first just get, you know, find an actuation point that you like and you can test it out. If you don't like it, you can just change it on the fly. Whereas if you have a mechanical keyboard with certain switches you think you may like, and then you're like, wait, I don't like these. I can't press them fast enough. They're not fast enough for my game, you know, my play style, things like that. This, you can do everything on the fly. You can change it. And again, it's per key too, which is great. So like I said, this is a great keyboard. And again, I really like the Ultra, or I really like the Pro. Now we have the Ultra, but they're essentially the same. So again, if you don't need the PBT keycaps and the all aluminum body, you can get the Pro for a little bit cheaper. But like I said, it is a great keyboard. I gave this a 9 out of 10. You can buy it directly from MelGeek for $199, or it's on Amazon for $219. I love these fast keyboards. Like if you're gaming, especially FPS, like these are the keyboards to get. Any type of magnetic switch Hall Effect keyboard, I think that's what, I would assume that's what most pro players are using these days, just because they're so fast. And you can.
Oh, I should change then. I should get one.
I think you might be better at games. Who knows? But yeah, that's kind of how I see these keyboards, is like ultimate customization. So check out the review if you are interested. Moving on to Case Mod Friday. Of course, that's where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this one is themed the Champagne build. And this one's from Nordic 3D Design. This is done inside the Cougar Kratos, which it's like an open air style of case. Champagne, you can look at the color and you can see why it's called Champagne. Really love this distro block here with the ROG logo in it. Really, really like that. And it has a screen right here, and it has a champagne bottle, which is kind of funny. But again, the coolant is sort of like that champagne color, sort of matches this accent piece. And then you have the Trident Z Royal RGB memory there. That's, they have the gold version, so that matches. And then you have your cabling. What do you think of this one, Ryan?
Yeah, looks good. Oh, go back one or two now.
Two.
The big ROG logo on the distro plate there looks cool.
That's what I was saying. I really like that.
You know, like, yeah, no, it's nice. The tubing, you know, it's like, it's always nice, like a fresh build, because the tubes are like crystal clear still.
Yeah.
Which really looks nice when you have a clear or semi-transparent liquid too. Like, it just looks so good, because over time, like, they'll get dust on them, and you know, like, your build still looks good, but when they're fresh, yeah, this looks sick.
Yeah, this looks pretty awesome. It's all about the lines, I feel. But yeah, really, really cool.
Ready for New Year's with that bottle there.
I know, right? Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, check this one out, and shout out to Nordic 3D Design for that one. Also, I did want to mention, I posted a video on our YouTube that goes over, we talked about it last week.
Yeah.
It goes over how to enable end task from the taskbar in Windows 11. So we talked about that last week, that new feature that Microsoft has added to Windows 11. So I made a quick video. It's like 2 minutes long, because it essentially, that's all I need to tell you on how to end task. So check it out if you haven't. I would just enable this by default, because again, if you just hit control delete and then find the process, it just takes longer. This process just allows you to right click on the taskbar and then go to end task. It's literally that easy. So check out that video on our YouTube if you haven't checked that out yet. I forgot to add that to the show notes, but just check out our YouTube. It is on there. And we'll move on to news. And we have more information on the Radeon RX 9060. Looks like it will be launching at Computex, which I will be at, which I'm pretty excited. I have that coming up in the next few weeks here. So, but yeah, it looks like it will be, and from everything that I kind of have been hinted at, that it will be announced on May 21st. And then availability in June of 2025. So I assume it's going to be announced at Computex. AMD, I believe AMD does have a keynote at Computex too. So I would assume that's where they're going to be announcing it. And I mean, yeah, we kind of have pretty much all the details. Of course, this is going to sit under the 9070 series, 8 gig, 16 gig option. We'll see how kind of that runs down. NVIDIA took a lot of criticism on their 8 gig and 16 gig versions of the 5060 Ti. You know, 2048 stream processors. No word on MSRP, but you would expect them to be quite aggressive.
I would hope, yeah. Yeah.
Like, do you think we're going to get like a 299?
I mean, we can hope for it.
And again, that's just like we talked about this, the MSRP, that's not maybe what you can get the cards at.
True.
But I think, again, I think so many gamers are like, and we as people who have at least 1440p displays, you know, a lot of people game 1440p and 4K, and, you know, they need the higher end cards or your enthusiasts. But there's like so many people who are gaming at 1080p that it's time for the upgrade, but it's like, you know, obviously with pricing and things all over the place, they just want something that's necessarily a little bit affordable, gets them a nice little performance boost at 1080p. So I think a lot of people are waiting for this card.
And depending on the age of what they've got, right? Like, you know, they could come in at that, this, you know, this level, maybe they used to buy a 70 series or an 80 series in NVIDIA, or, you know, something comparable from AMD. Like, if they're multiple generations behind, coming in, even at this lower level at a more affordable price, is still going to give them higher performance than what they've been sitting on, right?
Yeah, like if they're on like a 1060 in most cases, right? Or like a RX 580.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the kind of the upgrade cycle that I'm thinking of for a lot of people. They're excited about this card. Yep. And I think AMD did do a pretty good job with the 9070 XT release, having a lot available. You could get them. So we'll see. And again, it's announced May 21st, and then maybe probably, I'm guessing, like June, the first week of June available. And again, hopefully pricing, will we know what tariffs are going to be in at that point in time? Who knows? But
so do you have to pay a tariff if you're over there and you go to the factory and pick one up and bring it back? Is that the same as shipping it over?
I know, but yeah. You have to declare it as a person. You can't, okay. You know, that's, so yeah. If it's like a personal, it'd be a person. I don't know how that, I assume that's how that works. Probably, it's a personal item that you just have to declare when you come in.
Yeah.
Now, if I have like a whole plane full of them, you know, what was that story? You. There was a story. I don't know if it's true.
Was it the guy like had the CPUs like taped to him or whatever? No.
Well, that's a person, but yeah. I heard this story and I saw it on social media. I don't know if it's true, okay. But like Apple loaded an entire 747 with like iPhones and flew them out of China or so. I don't know what all this stuff started happening. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's pretty interesting.
I think it was.
But yeah, I think, like I said, I think a lot of like, again, we always like to talk about the high end, but like the biggest percentage of gamers are in that lower tier. And I guess you would call that semi mid range to entry level part, you know, that's what they're buying. So I think a lot of people are excited for it. So
yeah, you think of it as a triangle, right? At the peak, you have your top performer, right? And that piece up there is a lot smaller. As you go down in performance, that base just gets bigger because it's attractive in price and everything to a larger group of people. So
yeah, talking about that, we weren't sure what was happening with the Radeon RX 9070, but it looks like pre-orders for the card have opened up in China. And again, this is what happened with the previous GREs. Like, they were available in China first, and then when they were kind of a proven product, they finally came to the United States. So price $575 to $600 for the 9070 GRE, 6% faster than the 7900 GRE at 1440p. It's just like, again, I think what they're doing with this, and I hate this because I don't like price. I don't like performance level at every $50 price point. Yeah. But that's kind of what we're doing here. So you can, if you, like I said, you can see the graph at the top, at least in this series, we have the 9070 XT, the 9070 and the 9070 GRE sits below the RX 9070, 48 compute units compared to the 56 of the 9070, 3,072 stream processors compared to the 3,584, 12 gigabytes of VRAM instead of the 16 gigabytes of VRAM. Slower memory bus, 192 bits. Slower memory in general. Same 220 watt TDP on that. So it's still a viable option for people. And I think, again, like, save a little bit. You know, you may not need what the 9070 offers. You can, maybe you don't want to drop down to the 9060 XT. But again, as you pile on more SKUs, the like performance difference doesn't get enough to it. Yep. You know what I mean? So I think, like I said, we'll see how this sells in China. And if it does come to the United States, pre-orders begin on May 8th. So
very soon, next week.
Yeah. So yeah, interesting on that. Like I said, I'm not a fan of a lot of SKUs for just not. So Ryan, go to Japan and you're in Japan and you're hanging out and you're going shopping and you're like, go to an electronics store and you're like, whoa, they have 5080s and 5090s in stock and they're not like crazy scalper prices. I should buy one up.
Souvenir
and bring it back. You know, it's going to save me some money when I come back in. Well, it looks like Japan is blocking sales for tourists amid the GPU frenzy. You know, Japan probably is getting less GPUs than the United States. I can only assume. And maybe people, especially people from China, because it's close, might go to China or go from China or any of those countries that are close to Japan, fly in to pick up the GPU and then leave. And then, you know, so somebody posted this photo. I obviously can't read Japanese, but from everything that we read here is that the 5090s and 5080s are only for Japanese citizens. I don't know. I guess they would just check your ID.
Yeah.
When you're checking out, I don't know how that would work, but that's kind of what's going on. And I, honestly, this makes sense. I mean, you could have like a whole system going on where you're buying these, going back to whatever country is close to Japan, and then selling them at Skype scalper prices. And obviously that just hurts the normal gamer who just wants to get one of these. Yep. So yeah, kind of interesting story there. And then we have already, we're already talking, Ryan, about supercards from RTX 50 series. Supercards usually release a year after. They've
barely been out.
I know.
Yeah.
Supercards release about a year after the initial RTX 50 series, and it looks like we are going to get increased VRAM. So that makes me think that we won't get like much of a performance boost naturally, you know. Like typically you see like 10 to 15% performance boost on the super. Maybe we won't get that. So they have to increase the VRAM to get that. And these cards will utilize the 3 GB GDDR7 modules, which is interesting. So one of the new professional cards from NVIDIA just had these new 3 GB GDDR7 modules on them as well. So they're going to be transitioning to that. So it looks like the RTX 5080 Super will feature 24 gigabytes of GDDR7, while the RTX 5070 Super will have 18 gigabytes. So the 5070, you know, they're both getting nice upgrades when it comes to VRAM. Obviously, this is a rumor. We don't know if this is true, but I think with the ability to add more VRAM on the card itself because of the 3 gig modules, you could see VRAM increasing because there's actually space for it too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like what that additional VRAM does to performance, right? Outside of, you know, tweaks to the GPU itself. I don't know.
Yeah, and again, like,
that's a lot, you know. Like, we were just talking about how cards still had 8 gigs on them, right? And now we're like expecting 24 gig out of an 80 series card is pretty crazy.
Yeah, so we'll see if that's actually true. There have been some really cool high-end cards announced or released in the past week. First one is Asus did a custom card with Doom the Dark Ages. So this card looks, this is an Astral. So this is their ROG Astral RTX 5080 Doom Slayer edition or Doom edition. Look, I mean, just, it looks so cool.
Yeah. Did you have an image of the backplate? Okay. Yeah, because there's not like a lot of room you can do much art except for the backplate, which I'm glad they did, right? So they've got that there. Yeah, that green, it's kind of like a greenish color, like an army green.
Yeah, it's kind of like the army green. It kind of matches the sort of Doom character there.
Yes, but, that's cool. I like that light bar in there. Oh, and are the heat sinks? Fins,
I think like the gold. Heat sinks sort like, of like
that are gold. Does look pretty good
because in the normal Astral they're actually they are a black,
right,
which is again not common, so I think they have the ability to change the color on this
card. Like that's gold, and then it looked like the IO plate was gold as well.
That'll
look pretty cool. Good actually.
No word on price. Gonna be a lot.
Yeah, it'll be a lot.
Yeah. Pretty cool though. Pretty cool to see. I love when there's like when they're actually done well.
Fans too.
Like I remember like was it the MSI Black Myth Wukong was a good collab, and then that the other Astral that came out was like all gold. It was like super gold. That one was really cool.
Yes. Well. Yeah, yeah,
So talking about that Astro, the Astro was one of the first cards where we saw a fourth fan, right? On the back of the card, you have a fourth cooling fan. Well, Colorful is essentially doing the same thing. So this is their RTX 5080 iGame Vulcan White that features the fan right here on the back as well. So this, of course, their iGame Vulcan is like their higher end. But this one will have a fourth fan on the back for more cooling.
White fins there.
Yeah. White fins on this. Do you think we're going to see more of that on the back to get like this pass-through cooling to get even more efficient? And again, you do have room back there, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little thinner fan, I think, than you get on the front side, but any additional like airflow through there, I think, is going to be beneficial. And I think it'll probably give you a little bit of airflow outside of like components that are near that, right? Because otherwise you've just got the three fans and you've got the fan pushing through the fins and then that's it. Like it's escaping. This, you've got a little additional pull through there and maybe some movement of air across, you know, surrounding components. You know, your VRMs are, well, I guess this fan's pretty far away from your VRMs at that point, but maybe blowing up to your memory, right? And that sort of area. So
yeah, so pretty cool. I don't think we have pricing on this one either. Oh no. So $1,790.
It doesn't seem crazy. I mean, it's got a screen on it. Like
it's a 5080.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait until you see the next ones. If you want some high prices, we'll go to the next one. So that's from Colorful. So that's their kind of higher end 5080. Now moving on to 5090. Galax has unveiled their premium 5090Ds. Now these will only be available in China because they're 5090Ds. But these are very expensive, Ryan. So Hall of Fame series, of course, Galax is known for their Hall of Fame series. They put out three different models. They have their OC Lab XOCLE, their OC Lab Plus X, and their OC Lab, just a normal OC Lab. Now, they both have different boost clocks, with the highest, of course, being the OC Lab XOCLE. And the OC Lab XOCLE has dual 12 VHP WR. So technically, you can put 1,200 watts of power into thing if you wanted to. Crazy. One thing I do like to see on this is that this PCB is big. The PCB ends way up here,
right?
Because typically like PCB ends here, so obviously there's a lot of different custom power delivery components on this. Definitely need room for the extra 12 VHP WR. It's also nice to see that they're like semi-spaced out,
right?
They're
not, so you got a little
not smacked right next to each other. So the OC Lab XOCLE, which has a boost clock of 2,655 megahertz, $4,140.
Good God.
The OC Lab Plus X is $3,620. And then the OC Lab is $3,605. These are going to be some of the highest overclocked RTX 5090s that you can see. They do come with this sort of like
enormous
crowners,
you know,
RGB thingy here. Do they come with the screens as well? I think they also come with the screen. Could be wrong. I don't know if we have the pictures of the screen. Let's see if it's in the if it doesn't come with a screen, that is quite expensive. But I guess for the high, it's going to be no, I guess it doesn't come with the screen because you can just rotate
it,
the top part.
Remove it, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. But yeah, this is going to be, and like if you look at all of their custom power delivery, looks like you have a 20 plus 8 plus 8 power phase design on this. Yeah.
That's a big boy.
Yeah. Big, big card. So yeah, pretty cool stuff, but very, very, cool. Very expensive. And again, only available in China, at least currently. I don't know if there's going to be normal 5090 versions of this available in the United States. So that's a bit of a bummer. Now, moving on to Gigabyte. So they made a change with the 50 series as far as the typically on graphics cards when it comes to where the memory meets the cooling solution, you would have thermal pads. And we've seen this all for years. They went with this new type of thermal gel, which was supposed to be more efficient and better cooling and all of that. They made that change with their higher end cards, but it looks like a user has reported this thermal gel sort of like leaking.
Oh,
So they posted pictures and you can see like, typically you'd have a thermal pad here, but it's this gel. And this user, I believe on Reddit, posted this where this gel is sort of like oozing out. And this person did have this in a vertical orientation, which again, so many people do. That's an aesthetic that a lot of people want in their system. So it's not like it's something out of the ordinary. And yeah, they have this leakage issue.
Well, and if it has any conductivity, which I doubt it does, but like you don't want that gumming up your PCIe slot.
Right? Yeah, you don't want that going into your...
and gets in there.
It's just quite interesting. Huh. So, and again, you can see it here.
Yeah, it definitely looks a little. I mean, that one that in the center there looks almost like a pad, right? But it's we know that they're not using a
pad. Yeah, and if you've ever bought cheap pads, this also happens to them.
Yes, it does. They deteriorate.
They deteriorate. So if you've ever bought like cheap thermal pads, this same thing sort of happens. So this was obviously kind of blew up on social media and Reddit. And Gigabyte did acknowledge it. They did put out a statement.
That's good.
Which we have here. They put out this whole statement about everything, how everything goes through testing and validation and everything like that. You know, so at least they acknowledged it. I guess, again, if we
see it on more or a lot more systems, that's...
Yeah, if we see it on more cards, just like... When we initially first started talking about the 12VH PWR power issues, we're like, okay, if we see it on like more than one, then so we'll see if this becomes a thing, especially when it comes to Gigabyte graphics cards. But until then, it's one reported issue. We haven't seen more, at least not yet. So we'll keep you guys updated if that is the case. On the Sapphire side of things, you know what's really sad is that Sapphire makes motherboards and they've come up with some pretty cool looking motherboards over the past year, but like they're not sold in the United States, which is a big bummer. So they just released their first Pure Series motherboard, and their Pure Series is like their white themed motherboard, white PCB. They have a Pure version of a Radeon RX 9070, and this matches up, as you can see in the picture, quite perfectly with that card. So this is their B650M Pure motherboard, Ryan's favorite form factor, which is micro ATX. And it looks very nice. All white PCB, black accents, the heat sinks, I believe, are silver on this. Wonder why they don't sell motherboards in the United States.
It can't be. You've got the distribution channel, like,
yeah. And it's not like something recent where they're like, oh, we'll wait till tariffs kind of ease down. Like, they've been selling motherboards for at least a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would love to test one because I'm a big motherboard guy. So, interesting. But really cool. Like I said, really, really, really nice motherboard there from Sapphire. And then some Lenovo stuff. So it appears as if Lenovo is really trying to compete with Apple on a couple different fronts. So first on the tablet front, which I actually bought a iPad recently, not the one that this is meant to compete against. So Lenovo is going to be releasing their Legion Tab Gen 4. Really set up to go against the iPad mini, but on top of that, be like a nice little gaming machine. So 8.8 inch screen, 3K resolution, 165 hertz refresh rate, powered by the Snapdragon 8 Elite processor, has fast charging, all of that.
What OS does it run? Is it an
probably
Android device?
Yeah, okay. Probably Android. I would guess. It's going to run Android. But yeah, just like a nice little tablet. Again, yeah. If you like one of my friends, they have like an iPad mini and it is very, very small. I bought the iPad Air. I think it's the 11 inch and the 11 inch seems huge compared to the 8 inch. Like it gets down to that size where it's,
yeah,
it is decently small. So we'll see how this does as a competitor.
Yeah, also original Google Nexus, and it was like a 7-inch tablet.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
Like it was like the size is just perfect.
I still have my Kindle. I think that's an 8-inch tablet.
I would still have that thing if the battery wasn't swelling on it. Like
I think my
it
battery, was still running. I don't know if my battery it's like in this organizer that I have over here that I haven't opened. So never know what's going on.
Might check on it.
Yeah. But Lenovo's also going to compete in the sort of mini PC space against the Apple. What is that called? Not the. What is
the? Not the Mac Mini.
No, it's the Mac. No, it's not the Pro because the Pro's. Whatever the Mac that looks exactly like this. What is that?
I don't know. Let's see.
Let's see, Mac. It's not a Mac Pro, is it?
Mac.
No, because that thing.
Mac Studio.
Like, Mac Studio. That's what it is. The Mac Studio. So this looks like. Let's bring it up.
Yeah,
let's bring it up. Let's bring it up. So here, I just brought it up on B&H. That's what came up first. But like, here's the Mac Studio, right?
Yep.
And then here's the Lenovo. Very similar. Yeah. So this is the ThinkCenter Neo Ultra with an RTX 5060 Ti. So not. Okay. You know, I believe is probably the mobile variant.
A mobile, yeah.
3.6 liter form factor starts at just over $2,000. Yeah.
Cool. Did we? Yeah. It says that won an award at CES. Did we see this? It might have been there, just in the background somewhere.
Yeah, probably in the background, as it wasn't. Yeah. We mainly took a look at the gaming stuff too.
Right.
But yeah, so pretty interesting there from Lenovo. Like I said, it looks like they're going at Apple, which is pretty cool, I guess. Competition always leads to better prices for us consumers, at least hopefully.
Yeah.
And then finally, Inwin launches a new case. This is their Prism. And it's essentially, so years ago,
yeah,
they came out with a Tau, which was essentially this case, but the front was all glass as well. And it might've been more glass than even this. The problem with that at the time, it was like the coolest thing. And the glass, the cool thing about this case, just like the Tau, is that when you don't have the light, when you don't have lights on, the glass appears to almost look like a mirror. But then when you turn your lights on in your system, you see through the glass. It's really cool. It's really sweet. But the big difference here is that this one has actual airflow.
Yeah,
it can so breathe. The original didn't have any airflow in the front. This you can see is a mesh panel. It's not just like a mesh panel where there's nothing. It actually has a bracket where you can install fans. So you're going to have some better airflow inside of this. And again, you still have the side mounts. I believe that the original Tau might have had the side mounts. I don't remember how the
cooling. I don't think it did.
Yeah, it was just like a heat machine. It looks so cool, but it was like a heat machine.
Yeah.
This will be designed so you have not only you have the side mounts, of course, you have top mounts, and again, you get that front mount as well. I really like this this light accent. I didn't notice that one this morning when I saw this post.
Yeah, it does look good. That's something I feel like we've gotten away from cases with that shroud, you know, the power supply shroud. Like we
have, yeah,
except for in lower end. I don't know. We've just seen a lot of different designs, so it's interesting to see.
Yeah, so
that.
Side mount, and then you can see where that front mount is for your fans and everything like that. So yeah, supports graphics cards up to 435 millimeters. We have a video in there if you want to check it out. But yeah, cool stuff there from Inwin, and that is the news for the week. So much going on with graphics cards. It seems.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Like, it finally seems like. Like companies are like, oh, we'll release our high-end card now. you know, when prices are inflated.
Which, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So what we have coming up next week, I wanted to get it done. It's actually done. The review is essentially done and sitting here. I'm taking a look at the Thermaltake TR100 Snow, which is a mini ITX system, but supports like 280 millimeter radiators, full size graphics cards, so much more. So I will be taking a look at that. Also taking a look at the Patriot PVP30, which is not an MMO. It is a portable SSD. So as you can see, dual-sided USB type A, USB type C, 1000 megabytes a second. I actually have it now that I think about it. It's right here. It's very small. It's like a flash drive, but it's actually a portable SSD. Yeah. So it has a PCIe M.2 controller with a USB 3.2 bridge in a single chip. So it allows it to be small, you know, compared to some other ones that we've seen. And one thing I really like about this, which I love, like the Patriot does on a lot of products, the whole thing is metal. It's not like some cheap plasticky thing. It's actually made of metal. So be taking a look at that. And then finally, if you are in SoCal this weekend, you should be going to the SoCal Tech Fair. So I'll be at the SoCal Tech Fair on Saturday the 4th, or Saturday the 3rd, I'm sorry. And this is hosted by J2Sense and iBuyPower and Height. And there's just going to be a lot of cool stuff going on, a lot of cool people there. I'm driving up from San Diego. It should be fun. I think it'll be cool.
Yeah, it'll be
fun. And if you guys are in the LA area, if you're looking for hardware, like Jay's getting rid of a ton of old hardware they're selling. Nice. I believe that iBuyPower is selling stuff. And it's going to be, especially like the stuff from Jay, I believe is going to be discounted. And then the stuff from iBuyPower is going to be like at MSRP too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which so like nice. If you're looking for graphics cards, there will be graphics cards available that you, I believe, can buy, which would be pretty cool. So I will be there just checking it out. I believe we're going to do a tour of iBuyPower as well. So
that's cool.
Follow us on social media. We'll have some content going out there. And I believe I'll be doing a full, like, long video on the whole event on our YouTube as well. So definitely stay tuned for all of that as well. Did I not have this up the whole time?
Nope. Yep.
Oh, well, yeah. Here's the page. If you do want to go, it's $20. And like I said, a lot of cool creators are going to be there too. I don't know if they have a list. I don't think they have a list.
There was a large list. And they had a bunch of stuff going on too. There was a ton of like events.
Yeah, there's a ton of events, a ton of tech related things. A lot of really cool creators. I know John Tech, who we've had on this podcast, is going to be there. Somebody from Linus is going to, I don't think Linus himself is going to be there, but from somebody from Linus, I know Bitwit's going to be there. A lot of cool people are going to be there. So you should definitely go if you are in the LA area or if you want to make a little drive out there. I will be there on Saturday. So Saturday, May 3rd. Yeah, be cool. And they have a taco truck, which I'm excited for. Taco truck. So really excited to do that. And I might stop by CyberPower as well because it's right in the same area as CyberPower PC as well. So that brings us to the question of the week, where of course we ask a question to both you and, or to both me and Ryan. And since I'm going to the SoCal Tech Fair, I wanted to ask you, were there any tech events in your area when you were like growing up? Like, was there any type of that type of event or anything?
Not that I was aware of, no.
I think the only thing was like LAN parties.
Right. That's what I was going to say. There were some local LAN parties, right? Put on by, you know, a couple groups in town. Pretty small though overall, in their capacity and just turnout. I would say the biggest and the first one I went to though would be like the first time I went to QuakeCon, right? I drove down to Dallas for that. Yeah. So I mean that's a 5-hour drive to get there, but that's, you know, like 3,000 people. And that was my first one I went to was in 2004. So nothing around here that was like anything like that. But then again, like, I don't know that shows were really like that up until the last 10 or 15 years when we started to get things like PAX and, you know.
Yeah, I remember I drove to Kentucky for Million Man LAN.
Right. Yeah, everything was like it was a LAN party, right? There wasn't so yeah. much. It wasn't so social. It was still like you had to be like a computer nerd or computer gamer to even know about the thing going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Because like I said, the, I think any of the tech, like there was no other tech events beyond LAN parties. And then at the LAN parties, a lot of times you would have like certain brand, like if it was a bigger LAN party, there would be like certain brands that had booths and things like yep. that you could yep. see their products. But there was never any...
Well, everything big, like I know at one time, and I don't remember the name of the show, it was like a traveling show and it was more corporate anyways. It was like Computer Associates, I think, was the company, and they used to put on like a show, and I went to it one time here in town, like early 2000s. And but it was more like business related, right? It wasn't anything to do with anything fun. But
yeah, just LAN parties. But LAN parties were so much fun. And before, like, so, because again, if you think like when I first started going to LAN parties, I was in high school and I graduated in 2003. So that should give you an idea of my age. But there was no social media. I mean, maybe there were forums, possibly, but like not really. And that's kind of where you met your group of local friends that either like that were into computers or played video games or whatever it was. You couldn't find them on social media. You couldn't find them on YouTube. There was no YouTube.
There was no YouTube.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I'm really excited for a so-called tech fair. It'd be kind of cool. And hopefully it's something that happens every year. Because now that I, like I said, I'm in San Diego, I can make the drive up. It'd be real easy. So yeah. That is essentially it for the podcast this week. Of course, we will be doing some gaming tonight because it is Wednesday and that means it is gaming night, and we run that stream over on Twitch. So if you want to continue hanging out, it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan, of course, runs that stream. Any other final things you want to mention or talk about, Ryan?
No, I don't think so. I got a cool mouse in to review from HyperX.
Oh yeah.
And it goes along with some 3D printing I've been doing. So excited to take a look at that.
Yeah, I have a ton of stuff in, lots of stuff coming up in the next few weeks, which we'll definitely be talking about. But yeah, like I said, guys, if you want to continue hanging out, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, and we will see everybody next week.